Today's scripture reading will come from James 1:22-25. You can follow along with me in your pew Bible on page 229. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Amen.
I think when we hear a passage like this in James, if you get a chance, you can even reread it. It's really tempting, and I think for a lot of us in Christian faith, to boil it down into two very distinct different ideas. Okay? On one side, there's this kind of argument that faith is really involving a lot of words. If you spend enough time in churches, you realize that there's always a lot of words. And usually faith is a string of those words and a series of ideas, and it's very knowledge-based. There's a whole kind of a listener, the hearer side that you hear in James, that faith is something that we can then, when called upon, repeat the verbs and the nouns back, and hopefully over time we know what they mean. Right? It's a knowledge-based understanding of faith. That's very easy and tempting sometimes to think faith is a series of intellectual commitments, a string of ideas and concepts that I have to either accept, internalize, and be able to repeat if I'm called upon to have to say something publicly. Right? On the other side of it, of the church and this idea you hear in James, is this idea of doers. And doers. I think in the Bay Area, I think we like this one, the doers. This is the idea of service. This is the idea that faith is about action. Faith is about going. It's about, in our context, usually it means we're pretty busy. Right? That we're busy, and faith is a sign of us getting out there and doing stuff. No more talk. You're talking, but you're not doing anything is the critique. But this side, the listening side, says, but you're doing, but you're not reflecting on anything. You don't even know why you're doing anything anymore. See, both sides, if we get stuck, and if we read James as listeners and doers, and which one am I, we're already reading this passage wrong. We're already reading it with a false dichotomy that James has nothing to do with. Because both of these sides have blind spots. If faith is nothing more than a series of moral platitudes that I either have to accept and internalize and repeat, it's no surprise that sometime around your 20s, sometimes before, sometimes later, it's kind of hard to sustain itself. Because frankly, you've been here and you've heard it all before. Because it's the same concepts and the same words, and you're like, I kind of heard this. It starts to feel kind of old and boring if that's all it becomes, just listening. On the other hand, if faith is just doing, go, as you well know in your normal personal lives, what tends to happen? You get frantic, stressed out, and you know what? The crazy thing is it's not enough. Because it's never enough, right? It's never enough. You could fill in the blank. First press is not loving blank enough. And the challenge of that is probably it's true, right? Because if we're going to kind of the go service side of faith, then what ends up happening is we're not caring enough. We're not doing enough because we hit this crazy thing called limitations. And that's not a thing that we do very often in Berkeley. We don't really like that word, limitations. And when we hit those limitations, what happens? Well, just like, you know, the moral platitudes, we kind of might get a little bored listening. With limitations, we start to get apathetic. Because I don't want to reach for the stars if I'm only, you know, and I'd rather not be totally a bummer, so I'm going to find this, like, middle ground where I can kind of not be super excited, not be super sad, and apathy tends to be comfortable in that go, burned outness. But see, what James is talking about, like I said, is none of these things. He uses two very key words that I want us to hone in on. He uses the word deception, and he uses the word forgetfulness. He's saying, don't just listen and then deceive yourself. He says, it's like looking into a mirror, seeing who you are, walking away, and then forgetting who you are, right? It's like, it seems just so foolish. But it's like, don't bother listening if you're just going to forget. Because it's too easy for us to deceive ourselves. It's too easy to think, because I listen, I must be that. Because I'm in this room, I must be a Christian. Because we're next to a university, we must be a university church. That would be like me walking around on UC Berkeley campus and listening to college students and saying, I'm getting a college education. Right? I mean, that's kind of what James is saying. He says, don't deceive yourself. Don't just think because you're in the room, because you're like doing the actions and you're hearing the things, that somehow or another it's connecting into your life. The real deception comes, and I feel this in my own life, is I'm like, I'm here for the hour, do my thing, and then I go home, and okay, finally, I get to do what I really want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and as long as I don't hurt anyone, and I maximize my pleasure, and minimize my pain, and it doesn't really bother anyone, and the few people I love, it's fine, leave me alone. So I'm reading this, and I'm like, it's really challenging, because I don't know about you, too, I forget things all the time. How many sermons have I heard in my life? I went to seminary. I forget sermons. I don't know what I ate last week. I have to really think about what I had for dinner last Wednesday. Right? How many times have you read a book and put it down and been like, I have no idea what that thing just said a week later. Right? Because you know why? Because we're in this world where we're on to the next thing. I have to remember the next thing. I have to remember the next thing. I don't have any time to forget. I don't have time to forget. But here's the deal. And this is where I want you to listen in, okay? This is where I want you to really listen. James is not talking about that kind of forgetting. He's not saying, first press, remember John 5. First press, remember Luke 10. First press, remember what you had for breakfast yesterday. That's not what he's saying. He's not talking about that kind of forgetting. He's talking about the kind of forgetting that happens when we forget really important key things about who we are and the lives we live. Okay? Let me give you a quick example. I work with college students. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, a lot of what my job is I remind college students that they're alive, okay? So that they're actually alive, that they're not unconscious, that they're not stuck on their phone, that they're not uninterested, that they're not apathetic. They are passionate, vibrant, alive people. And that's not really innovative, right? That's like not a new thing, and most of us want to live, and life is good, and we cherish, but it's so easy to forget that. You are alive. And your life matters. And I'm not talking about survival. And I'm not talking about some sort of ethic where I just kind of maximize how much pleasure I can have and avoid pain. And like I said, and as long as I don't hurt anybody, I'm okay. I'm talking about don't forget who you are. Don't deceive yourself into thinking, because I do it or because I listen, I must be that. Because you know, when James says, when you start to forget who you are, it's like you look in the mirror and you walk away. That would be the example is I look in the mirror and I go, okay, I got a little beard thing going on. And then I go to my employer and my employer says, hey, what kind of facial hair do you have? And you know what happens if I forget who I am? I start saying, well, what kind of facial hair do I need to have? And then I go to my wife, what kind of facial hair do you need me to have? And then I go to my friends on the golf course. What kind of facial hair? Oh, you guys don't have any. Okay, so that being the example, meaning when you start to forget who you are, you just become whatever you need everyone else around you to become for you, right? You like hold the mirror out. All right, is that what I need to become? All right, I'll do that. And when that happens, life starts to get really segregated, right? I'm like this with my friends. I'm like this on Friday nights. I'm like this with my family. I'm like this at work. I'm like this at home. And our lives just get jumbled and just totally fragmented. And we forget who we really are. We forget. James says that doesn't have to be the case. Why? 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 Here's the Bible school answer. Why? Because we have Jesus Christ. It's a good answer. It's always been true. It's still the right answer. James says, when we examine the perfect law, when we look into who Jesus Christ is, and then the power that we can bring as a place like in Berkeley where we can engage the world and bring the two together, the word I would use with students is that's called integrating. Right? Integrating. We're not spending our 20s watching Netflix and drinking cheap alcoholic beverages and fast food. That's the context I live in, right? Or we spend our later lives playing a lot of golf and watching TV and really uninterested in anything besides the few things that I have to attend. That we're alive. And when that happens, and when we integrate Jesus Christ into a passion for the world, suddenly it's not I listen and then I do, or I do, then I listen. I'm just living. So sometimes I listen too much, too little, sometimes I do too much, sometimes, and then I feel and I act, and I'm not always like, what am I doing? Which one comes first? Because I'm alive. And I can engage the world around me on the golf course, at work, at home, with my friends, because I am who I am wherever I am. And that's what integrating is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ then matters. Yes, because he can save us from our sins. Yes, because he can heal us and give us eternal life. But here and now, Jesus also matters because he's the only one that's going to integrate you. When these students come up here, you're going to hear that. He's the only one that can, as fully God and fully human, at the same time, Jesus is integrated. He's not like, I'm God now, and I'm human now, and now I'm God. He's not confused. He's himself all the time. And following him means we have to be ourselves in Christ all the time. So University Sunday is one of these moments that James ends with, that we get to be blessed. We get to hear from two students who've been with us for 4 years. And how Christ, it's not just the one thing, but we're talking 4 years of development, of doing and listening and acting and integrating and trying to figure out who Christ is in a life that really matters. And this senior class before you, not just these two, but this entire senior class is the most intergenerationally connected class I've ever had. This class played with your junior hires, watched your kids at ACC, hung out with your high schoolers, showed up at 6 a.m. for Easter sunrise services, painted walls in Costa Rica. All of our seniors up here today went to Thailand with our adult mission trip. Three of them twice. And through it all, the theme is not so much what they've done and where they've been and how they've grown and how they're going to graduate. Today we're going to listen to something a little different. So here's what I want you to do. This is my charge for them, for you. Listen today. And don't listen to just forget. Right? Take notes. Let their stories challenge you. Let them encourage you. And don't deceive yourself into thinking, well, just because I'm not in college or I'm college age or I went to college or anything around college, Jesus Christ is in all of us. We have that in common. So we can listen to that theme. Okay? Listen to how Christ has transformed Ryan and Melissa.